nigga way maker. Nobody gonna let the miracle work. Light and dark. The great I am that I am. Oh, y'all might as well go ahead and pray me with no pain.
Thank
got the victory. Give him a hand clap of praise. Somebody lift up your voice and say, thank you, God. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for being a remaker. Thank you for being a miracle worker. Thank you for being the problem solver. Come on, give God some praise in this place. That's what you got the victory. And he got the victory and say, thank you, God, for the victory. Thank you, God, for making a way. Thank you, God, for showing me the way. Thank you, God, for the power. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the mercy. Thank you, God. Aren't you glad today that you got the victory? I said, aren't you glad today that you have the victory? Amen? Faith always winning. Amen? Faith never lost the case. Amen? Never got a victory. I don't know about you, amen, but that's the team I won't be on. Amen? Always winning. Always got the victory. Know that God is always on my side. Amen. Your side. Give him honor today. Truly, God's worthy. Be praised. Amen. I'm going to say all opening Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The world is made as well therein. For he has founded it upon the sea. Upon the floods, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessings from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads on your gates, even lift them up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, heart of God. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts and praise on our lips. Lord, we come thanking you for the new mercies of this day. Father, we thank you for your grace and your loving kindness and your faithfulness unto us, O God. We thank you, Father, for being our refuge and for being our fortress. We thank you, for we know that you are a very present help in times of trouble. And so, Father, we know that there is none like you, Father God. And so, Father, we come thanking you this morning, Father, for being a prayer-answering God. We come this morning thanking you for your grace, thanking you for giving us the strength and the stamina and the perseverance to continue to stand strong in you. Oh, God, we come this morning, Father God, praying, oh God, for mankind everywhere. We come this morning asking that you would lay your hands on your people this morning, Father God, that your healing virtues will flow throughout the atmosphere, oh God, throughout the hospitals and nursing facilities, oh God, and throughout the assisted living places, oh God. Father, we come this morning, oh God, asking that you will continue to, oh God, strengthen us in every area of our lives that we need to be strengthened in, Father God. Continue to keep our minds and our bodies, oh God, and our spirits strong, Father. And Father God, we pray this morning for every bereaved family, oh God. Comfort them this morning, Father God, in their hour of bereavement, oh God. And oh God, we pray for our pastor this morning, Pastor Kason this morning. We ask that you would gird him up on every leaning side, prop him up where he's weak, and build him up where he feels he's torn down. Strengthen him, God, in every area of his life that he needs to be strengthened in, Father. We pray for our first lady this morning, God, asking that you would continue to bless her going out and bless her coming in, God. Continue to touch her physical body this morning, Father God. We pray for the entire Kason family this morning. We pray for the entire Heart of God Baptist Church family this morning, Father God. Oh, God, we pray for those that are there and those that are listening by telephone or on Facebook or whatever mode of, oh, God, communication they're listening by, Father. We ask that you would touch them this morning, Father God. And, Father God, we pray this morning for the peace, oh, God, in the land, Father God. We pray for unity, Father God, and strength for those in these difficult times, Father God. We pray for all of our servant leaders, Father God, this morning, all of our prayer warriors everywhere. And, Father God, we know that you are good and your mercy, it endures forever, Father God. And we know that you are the source of our strength, and we know that you are the strength of our lives, Father. And so this morning, Father, we come offering up a sacrifice of praise to you today, Father God. And, Father God, we come to you sometimes in broken pieces, Father, but we know that you can mend those broken pieces of our lives back together again, Father God. And, God, we come this morning with physical ailments, oh, God, and some of us with emotional, mental, and financial challenges, Father God. But in spite of all of these things, Father God, you are still a miracle-working God, Father. And so we thank you, Father God, because you do miracles so great, Father God, and there is none like you, Father God. And so, Father God, we thank you this morning, and we bless your name this morning, and we praise your name this morning. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, Father God, in the city of our God. And so, Father, we thank you this morning, and we bless your name. We come with attitudes of gratitude this morning because, God, we have seen you work in the lives of other people, and we've seen you work in our lives as well, Father God, individually and collectively, God. And so, God, we are thankful this morning, and we're grateful this morning, Father God. And, Father God, we thank you this morning, Father God, for just holding us and shielding us and protecting us, Father God, from the enemy, Father God. And, Father God, we thank you, Father God, that no matter what it feels like or what it looks like or what it be like, Father God, you are still in control, Father God. And so, Father God, we thank you for you are God and you are God alone, Father God. And so we thank you for being the author and the finisher of our faith this morning, Father God. We love you and we adore you. We worship you, Father God. We say hallelujah to your name this morning, Father God, because you are worthy to be praised, Father God. And, Father, we thank you and we bless your name and we praise your name, Father God, because you are good. You are good, and your goodness is very, very, very good to us, Father God. And so, Father, we thank you this morning, and we love you, and we ask that you will continue to lead, guide, and direct us. Continue to order our steps in your word, Father God. Guide our tongue in your word, Father God. Father, we thank you, and we praise your name, and we bless your name this morning. Keep us, Lord Jesus, as the apple of your eye, Father God, and we will forever give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory all the days of our lives. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Thanks for prayer this morning. Amen. I know it's hard to believe that we're on the 10th day of December. Amen. Christmas Day is fast approaching. Amen. All of people scrambling around, amen, and people are getting ready for Christmas, putting up their Christmas tree, amen. all the old movies that are coming on, the people are watching the old movies, amen. But there is a Christmas song I want to sing this morning. I don't know if y'all know this one. It's called Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And it says, number 58 in the book, in the hymn book, it says, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the sky. With the angel host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Listening to the glory of God.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Christ the highest heaven adore. Christ the everlasting Lord. See him fly. Behold him come. Offering up the virgin.
Christmas Advent and some of the memories of Christmas. And we thank God for the special gift of his son Jesus. Amen. That we celebrate on Christmas. Amen. And I don't know about you. Amen. But that is the greatest gift. Amen. That God gave to this world his only begotten son. So somebody have a testimony this morning. We're going to start over here. Amen. And we're going to work our way around. Someone got a testimony. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm grateful to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I'm glad to be in the number one more time for another day. It's a little cloudy out, but thank God that the sun still shines. Now, just remember this holiday season. Just remember those who are less fortunate there. Not going all the time about less fortunate. Getting to the less fortunate. There are kids out here that never receive anything for Christmas.
Hello.
There's, you know, people go through hard times.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, homeless people out in the streets and stuff. So just remember them this holiday season.
Yeah.
Keep them in prayer. Thankful for my family, my church family, my pastor, First Lady, her accent. Just ask that you all keep the heart of God in prayer. Keep me and my family in prayer, and I will keep you guys in prayer.
Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah.
I'm just grateful for this day. Just grateful for the opportunity. Sometimes, just like you said, Pastor, you got to drag that flesh up in here.
Yeah.
Drag him up in here this morning, amen. And so.
That's all right.
And I just want to let y'all know that it's okay not to be okay. It's okay sometimes not to know what's going on. You know what I mean? While God doing his work. You know, so just want to thank everybody for everybody that's in my life. I just want to say happy birthday to my boy right here, Anthony. He was on the Sabbath, though, but, you know, happy birthday to you, man, and keep going. God got you. God got us. Amen.
Amen.
Hey. Thank God for all the years that he's raised, all the changes that came, things that are. There's a weird special feeling having your birthday in December.
Yeah.
You gotta wait all year. Get back around again. It kind of gives you a feeling of, you know, years come to a close, start another year. We actually start another year. But thank God for all that. And thank God for keeping me bringing you here once again.
Yeah.
Good morning, church. I thank God for the hand. I thank God for the great fun. That's one thing about that church, you don't have to worry about. You gotta be wrapped. My job back in the gift. So I just thank God for his son Jesus Christ died on the cross. I'm trying to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and not to all understanding. You know, in your ways acknowledge him, and to make your pain. When I'm confused, I trust God. When I'm misunderstood, I don't trust God. Even when I'm saying something on my way, I still have to trust God. When I'm in love, I trust God. That's all I want to say. Let's trust God. He will be there. He will. When your money flows, trust God. Got more bills than money, trust God. He will make a way. Let us pray, God, and I'm going to thank God. This year, I'm going to thank God. Maybe I'll really retire, so I'm not back and forth on the church anniversary. I'm ready to go back and forth.
Amen. God, in everything you do, we thank God. My testimony is I thank God for my wife. Got word on yesterday morning that mom was in the hospital. And she had been wanting to go see her mom, amen. But circumstances didn't allow her to make it. And yet, she came down the steps. She got word that her mom wasn't doing well. And she was in the hospital. She called her sister niece, man. Just so happened that they were able to go down to Brazos, Virginia, amen, and make good time getting down there. When they got there, they went to the hospital and found Mother Love, amen. She was sleeping, resting, amen. And thank God that as they were going, we were praying the whole way, amen. It is. She wasn't going to be able to stay, but she was able to talk to mom. Mom was able to talk to her, amen. And said she had some serious things going on physically, amen. But spiritually, she was doing all right, amen. And we thank God for prayer. Prayers of the righteous availeth much. So last night as I was looking at the clock, amen, and wondering when they were going to make it back, amen, I got a text, amen, that they were stopping somewhere to get something to eat, so just kept on praying, amen. And you know how you wait for somebody to come through the door, amen. And the grandkids, that's not the wife, no. Get a daughter, but that's not the wife, though. Yeah. A little bit after 10 o'clock, Lord have mercy. I heard the garage door open. Amen. Something about the wife. She don't open one at a time, but she opened both at the same time. Amen. Heard both of them open up. I know she done made it back home safe. So that's my testimony, is that God will grant you traveling mercy, amen. Sometimes we take it for granted when we get on these highways, you know what I'm saying, with a million different people, amen. And everybody some kind of way stays between these little white dotted lines.
Right.
Some going 100 miles an hour, some going 80.
Mm-hmm.
I stepped on somebody's toe right there. Some don't need to be out there, but they out there, amen. Cutting in and out, amen. And the two-wheel motorcycles, amen. Cutting in and out, amen. But God grants us traveling mercy. Lord have mercy. We'll talk a little bit about mercy later on, amen. But the mercy of God allowed him to go down to be able to make it down the highway in a timely manner, to see Obama, to talk to Obama, to have a short, amen, that Mama was doing all right, amen. Be able to turn back around, not getting no sleep, amen. Get back on the highway, come back up, amen, and make it safely. I'm talking about God's grace and his mercy, I thank him for that. For his grace and his mercy. I thank God, man, for that. Amen. Okay. We just got to be able to talk about, amen, how he's made a way so many times, amen? So many times, amen? Just think about all you're going out and you're coming back in. Every day he allows you to go back and forth, amen? Safely. Somebody ought to say glory to God. The folks were those way they did, you pass right on by. The folks were broke down on the side of the road, amen. That's kind of weird. Even when you were not in the metro, come on, man. That's kind of weird. Amen. He was able to catch the last train. Come on. Anybody ever had to catch the last train?
We got some more phone on the line. Lord have mercy. Go to the first call, the last four digits. Amen. 1741. 1741. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Kason. Good morning. First Lady in our accent and the Heart of God Baptist Church. I praise God for his goodness. I praise God for just bringing me through another week. I thank him for his many blessings and benefit. And if I had to just say one word this morning, God is faithful. He is faithful. And I thank God for his faithfulness unto me. God bless you all and take care.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Amen. I'm going to go to our next caller. Ask for David 7611. 7611, good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Thank good Lord. The good Lord gave me another second chance to lay out and stay in the night. You say, oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow, but you don't know if tomorrow is going to be there. You do what you got to do, but you get the eyes pop open and you see the sunshine in your eyes and you say, good Lord, the deaf angel walked over me and kept on going. And said, you gave me another second chance that I can do what the devil is going to do tomorrow. But thank God touched me this morning and said, get up, son. It's time to go to church. Okay? Good morning, sir. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We'll go to our next worshiper on Lance 4-0025. 0025. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, my church family. This is my testimony this morning. Just another day that the Lord has kept me. Just another day that the Lord has kept me.
Yeah.
He has kept me from all evil.
Yes,
truly, my mind is stayed on Jesus. It's just another day that the Lord, he has kept me. I was willing, and the Lord, he has kept me. I was willing, and the Lord, he has kept me. He has kept me from all evil. Truly my mind is stayed on Jesus. It's just another day that the Lord has kept me. That's my testimony this morning. It's just another day that the Lord has kept me. Just another day that the Lord has kept us. And I'm thankful this morning. I'm grateful this morning. And I give him all the praise and all the honor and all the glory this morning, because he is a good God. He is a mighty God. He is a great God. He is an awesome God. And I thank God this morning that it's just another day. That my God, our God, he has helped me, and he has kept us. God bless you today.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony today. Amen. Get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Thank God for prayer.
about you, amen. Times, amen, I know I have been a recipient of answered prayer, amen. I know folks, amen, have prayed for me. Somebody said they had me on their mind. Took time to pray for me.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me, amen. And somebody said my mama prayed for me. Had me on her mind. Took the time to pray for me. And I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed for me. I'm going to ask, amen, Sister Renee, amen, pray to lead us in prayer this morning. I'll ask her, amen, not to forgive, amen, all of our children, extended family members, stick to shut in, see Deacon Bryce on the line, bless your heart, amen, good to see her, amen. Remember all of our family and friends, amen, during this holiday season. As you continue to remember the teachers and president, vice president, and some folks suffered some loss from tornadoes in Tennessee. Remember all the war-torn countries all over this world, amen. Remember every church that's opened their doors in the name of Jesus. And just continue, amen, to pray that God's will would be done in all of our lives.
Let us pray. Oh, God, it's once again we come to you just to say thank you, oh God. Not necessarily to ask for anything, Lord God, but just to say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us, God. Thank you for all that you're going to do for us, Lord God. And more importantly, thank you for what you're doing for us right now, Lord God. Thank you for allowing us to sleep last night, Lord God. Thank you for the protection of your angels to watch over us. Thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning in our right mind. Place one foot in front of the other, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for that this love is still running warm in our veins. Thank you, Lord God, for what you've done for us, Lord God. You decided to never want to do anything else, Lord God, that you've already done enough. Thank you, Lord God. Ask, Lord God, that you will heal all that we can share.
Yeah.
We lift up to you, Lord God, all those who are less fortunate, Lord God, that they will find some joy and peace and happiness this holiday season, Lord God.
Yeah.
Ask, Lord God, that you will look. You look over our church family, God. Keep our church family, God. Our parents, the first lady, and our first family, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. We pray for everyone that's on the line, God. What their form, the name of their communication is. Thank you, God. That you bless all those who don't know you on the part of their sins, God. I pray that something will happen in their lives once again, God, that will cause them to have an encounter. That they will claim to their Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord God, for what you brought us from, Lord God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord God, for told you.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
And I've been going outside, Lord God. I don't know where you are. Thank you for and our health, our strength.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Lord God, for being that provider. Thank you, Lord God, for being the light and God. Thank you, Lord God, for just being in all that we need you to be. We love you, Lord God. We adore you.
Yeah.
We will forever give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man. Just a little talk with the Lord will make it all right. Amen. Thank God for all the testimonies, songs, words of encouragement. And I was thinking the other day, the one I was good old portable studio. And we were going through that COVID thing. And every Sunday we found down in the basement that Sunday after Sunday the Spirit of the Lord meet me down in that basement. Some kind of way the video worked, the audio worked, phone lines worked. Sunday after Sunday, someone's testimony was that God is faithful. Some kind of way the rent still got paid. Now we got to live. Light bill, some kind of way still got to pay. He stayed on when it's time. He stayed on. So, when I was down there, I was thinking I was in a back place where they used to have to go to death, same death that we got into from the end. We need to make flyers, bulletins, big man. For 20 years, Lord have mercy. Somebody said, glory to God. 20 years, God kept us from the basement. It's a schoolhouse. It's a warehouse. It's an office park. And wherever else he's going to take us, big man. We can trust God, amen, and he'll be faithful. Look at somebody say, God, feel faithful, and faithful. Say, he's still faithful in the faith. I'm reminded of those two fellas, amen, Paul and Silas. Said they was in the bottom of the jail. Lord have mercy. And I got to with. And it reminded me when I was in the bottom of in the basement and it was dark. Y'all been down there, amen, amen. It's not the prettiest thing. It's not a finished basement, amen. But God's in the basement. God's a living God. There's no place he can't search out. And if there was two or three of y'all in his basement, he said, I'll be in the basement. Well, in the kitchen or in the basement or in the garage or on the water, or he will walk it down and turn from. I'll be in the basement. Some kind of way we would sing songs to Zion, amen. We'd open up the hymn from time to him, good God Almighty. Someone would have a testimony or song, amen. Some kind of way, Lord have mercy. The word got out. The Lord made a way. So I thank God for just allowing us to be able to trust that he's going to make a way. Someone said earlier today, amen, it's okay not knowing. Amen. But we have this faith size of a mustard seed, and you can truly trust God that he will bring you through and bring you out. Amen? Amen. So we want to continue this 20-year journey a little bit longer. Is that all right? We're going to continue this thing a little bit longer until the Lord say enough done. Amen? Somebody said he walked me this far. It brings me this far to leave me. Look at somebody say, we've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. Amen. I want you look at the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. 11th chapter today. And I want to encourage you, amen, that let's go back to the 10th chapter, one of the Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I want to encourage you that God is still on the throne. The Hebrew writer was a letter that was sent out. The Bible doesn't indicate who wrote it, but it was sent out among the people where Christianity had just started. And they were being persecuted because they had turned to what was prophesied about Jesus and started following, they call it the way. That I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they started following the way of Jesus, amen, because they understood that the law, amen, had its limitations. And so there was some that wanted to stay, amen, connected to the law because it was comfortable, amen. They were in their routine, and they knew the law of Moses, and they were comfortable with it, amen. And how many know, amen, it's nice to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Nice routine. Amen. You know, come do this, come do that, come do that. Good, we good. Amen. No, next week it's going to be the same thing. Come do this, come do that, come do this. We good. Amen. But how many know that God, amen, has a way of getting us out of our comfort zone? Amen. When he is giving us orders or instructions to share his good news or his word, amen? And so there were some of them, Sister Juanita, amen, that wanted to go back to the comfort zone, amen? Because they were talking about this way, this Jesus, amen, and folks were frowning at them. Folks was poking their lips out at her. Folks were persecuting them, amen, because of their faith in Jesus, amen. And I don't know about you, but if you're human, amen, it's hard sometimes, amen, when people talk about you, amen. It's hard sometimes when people say all kind of manner of evil falsely against you for his name's sake, amen. And sometimes, amen, you look at them and you say to yourself, to heck with them, amen. But God wants you to understand, amen, that he has put his word and his spirit in you for you to minister to them, amen, so that they would have the opportunity, that they would have the choice, as we say, amen, to be saved. But God knows, Lord, have mercy. Sometimes you look at some folk, amen, and you say, amen, ain't no way in the world they're going to be saved, Lord, have mercy, if you're looking at them, amen. But those are the ones that God wants us to minister to, amen. He wants us to minister to the least of these, amen, so that they would have a chance, they would have a choice to be able to have salvation in their lives. But the problem is, amen, many times, amen, we get tired in the journey. Many times we get tired in the press. Many times the road gets a little rugged, amen, and we don't feel like being the rugged runner, amen. What I want to talk about a little bit today, the rugged runner. The rugged runner is like Paul, amen. And Paul says, I have kept the faith. I have kept my course. I have finished my journey. In other words, Paul was a rugged runner, amen. It wasn't pretty, amen. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't always, amen, a thing of beauty, amen. But he kept on running. Sometimes he ran a little fast, sometimes he ran a little slow, but he was a rugged runner, and he had an example in Jesus, because Jesus, amen, came into this world, and his assignment wasn't but some 30 some years, amen, but along his journey he kept on going, amen. He kept on going even though he knew, amen, that there was a place on Calvary's cross where he would have to give up his life and shed his blood and die for the sins of the world, to endure the sun not shining because the Father turned away because he couldn't bear the sight of seeing sin in his son.
So he had to be a rugged runner. Too many times, amen, in Christianity, amen, nobody wants to be rugged, and sure enough, nobody wants to run, amen. But it requires us to be rugged. It requires us to be tough. It requires us that when we get knocked down and kicked up and beat down, to keep running, to keep getting back up, to keep getting back into the fight, to keep getting back into the ring. Why? Because there's a day that's coming, amen, that no man wants to face. Amen? In order to be a rugged runner, you got to hang out with some brothers. Lord have mercy. What are you talking about, man? You got to hang out with some folks that just as rugged as you are. Amen. See, you can't hang out with weak souls. Lord have mercy. You got to hang out with folks, amen, that know that they know that they know that Jesus is the way. You got to hang out with some folk, good God Almighty, to know that God will make a way somehow. You got to hang out with some folk, amen, that have now faith. He said, what in the world is the now faith, brother? Well, now faith is the faith that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And in other words, you got to have a rugged run of faith that lets somebody else know it might not come when you want it to, but it's always on time. You got to get to a place that God designed to let people know, amen, that I may not see it right now, but I know my God is able and that God is going to do a thing, amen. You just wait and see. We got folk, amen, that are walking by sight and not by faith. See, the rugged runner, amen, he's going to walk by faith, amen, and not by sight. We were talking about Paul and Silas down in jail, amen. God knew that there were some folk on the outside of the jail that needed to be saved. There were some folk on the inside of the jail that needed to be saved, but they was in the bottom of the jail. So you say, how in the world am I going to save folk, amen, that are in the jail with me and folk on the outside of the jail, but we all in jail. Good God Almighty, how in the world, God, are you going to do it? They couldn't. But they knew God for themselves, and they seen what God had done in their lives. So they said, maybe I might be in the midst of the jail, but I know God is going to turn this thing around. Look at somebody say, late in the midnight hour, God is going to turn it around.
Yeah.
See, that's the rugged runner's attitude. The rugged runner's attitude is that it might look like an impossible situation, but I know our God specializes in the impossible. We know our God is a way maker. We know our God is a light in darkness. We know our God, amen, is able to do anything but fail. And so what God is requiring from me is I continue to run the race. I continue, amen, to press toward the mark. I continue in spite of what I see, in spite of what I feel like, in spite of what it looks like, that I'm going to continue to tell somebody about the good news of Jesus. And around midnight, the record says Paul and Silas began to start singing praises to God. They began to start lifting up the name of Jesus. The record said the ground began to tremble. The record said the chains fell off. The record said the dog came off the hinges. The record said that the jailer was running in to see what was going on. He's saying he's getting ready to kill himself. But all of I have been turned to yourself, no harm. We're still here. And he said, what must I do to be saved? Because the rugged runner, even though they were in the midst of the jail, still gave God praise. And the rugged runner, amen, even though they were in the midst of a difficult situation, they still gave God praise. They still lifted up the name of Jesus, and God showed up and showed out. So what has this got to do with Hebrews the 10th chapter? One of the biggest things that the enemy wants to do is get you to turn around and stop playing and stop giving praise to God. One of the biggest things is he wants you to forget about your fellow man, forget about your assignment, forget about what he said for you to do, what he left on record to do, and he wants you to forget about the goodness of God and focus on the terrible things that you're going through. Focus on the situation or circumstance, if you will, that you're going through. But God doesn't want you to look at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So God wants you to focus, rugged brother, on the things that you can't see, because the things that you see are temporary. It's not going to last that long. And so when you begin to say, this thing is harder than I thought, the devil will say, yeah, it's real hard. And you ain't going to be able to do it. And you begin to say, I'm tired and I'm beat down. The devil said, yeah, you tired and beat down and it ain't worth it. You begin to say, I feel like giving up. And the devil said, you might as well give up because it ain't going to do you no good. You begin to say, I don't know if this is the right way to go. And the devil will tell you, you know it's not the right way to go. You might as well go back to that old thing. You might as well pick that pipe back up. Come on now. You might as well pick up them funny cigarettes again. You might as well stop the women and manizing again. You might as well go back to that thing that makes you feel good. You know the things that you used to pick up out of the liquor store. Have I been God witness? You know those habits that you used to have. You know those things that you used to do. The devil said you were comfortable with those things. Go on back to those things. You knew how to cuss. You knew how to fuck. You knew how to freak. You knew how to do everything. Amen. That the world made you feel good. He said, don't worry about them folk over there. Go make yourself feel good. And the flesh says, that sounds good. But the rugged runner understands the spirit of grace. Spirit of grace. You say, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor? The spirit of grace. Almost every Sunday, we talk about invitation to Christian discipleship. And I say, the hand of grace is extended. He said, what in the world are you talking about? The hand of grace is extended. In other words, there's a period of time, a dispensation, if you want to get theological, a period of time, a separate dispensation. There's a period of time where God is saying, I'm giving you grace, amen, that you can be forgiven of your sin by the sacrifice of my son, that you don't have to pay the price or the penalty. I'm going to pay the price for you, amen. In other words, it's a price, it's a gift that God is giving of salvation. The hand of grace is extended, amen. And the period of grace is like a window, because sooner or later, there's going to come a day, amen, where the hand of grace is going to be withdrawn. And God wants the rugged runner to be focused like a laser, amen, to tell people that there's a day coming where the hand of grace is going to be withdrawn. Let's look at this in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and understand that the only way that we're going to be able to stay focused is if we stick together. Look at somebody say, we got to stick together, brother. You got to stick together. Brother runner, you got to stick together. You got to help me when I run down, and I got to help you when you run down. But if he separates us from each other, he can conquer us. That's why the body of Christ has to stay together. And so if you look at what he says in Hebrews, I don't want to go back to verse 19 in the 10th chapter. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus. In other words, we have access to the holiest of holies because of the blood of Jesus. That's number one. In other words, everything you and I need, we have access to. Stop right there. That's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. Everything you and I need, we have access to. Anybody ever got direct access to something? In other words, you got access to, if you have this, a laptop or a computer or your phone, amen, and you type in or swipe or whatever you do or look at the phone recognition, amen, it will grant you what? Access to everything on that what? Device. Mm-hmm. Amen? Everything in this world that you need, God has access to. Amen. And because of his death on the cross of his son, now, amen, you have access by the blood of Jesus.
He said, well, wait a minute.
Everything I need, I have access to. Everything you need, you have access to. Look what he says. By a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. In other words, he atoned for everything. He died for sin. He wiped your slate clean. His blood gives you direct access to the holiest place. But my question is, how many people are trying to get to the holiest place? How many are settling, amen, for the things of the world? That's what the rugged runner's assignment is. Say, don't settle for the things of the world. God has placed you and seated you in heavenly places. You have direct access to the holies of holies. Don't settle for that. Keep running the race, because sooner or later, amen, God is going to bless you and give you what you need. So in verse 21, he says, in having a high priest over the house of God. Who is the high priest over the house of God? None other than Jesus Christ himself. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is my high priest. Jesus is the one that gave me access to the holiest of places. But when you have that kind of access, when you have that kind of assurance that whatever you need, when you need it, how you need it, that God is capable of giving it to you, and he's not doing it because of your righteousness, but he's doing it because of the righteousness of his son. And so when you need it, God's got it, and you have to make the choice to get to the holy place. But the problem is the enemy is pointing the wrong way, saying, you ain't going to get it. Go to that place. Go to that place. But Jesus says, I am the door, amen, and you have to come through him. Let's look at the verse. He said, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? In verse 22, he says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from all evil consciousness and our bodies washed with pure water. So God is saying, I'm no longer looking at you as fallen in sin, but I'm looking at you as covered in the blood of Jesus. And because you have this righteousness, you ought to take advantage of. Number two, you ought to take advantage of. Don't turn down the opportunity to experience this holy place. Take advantage of. Many times people say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't what? Make him drink. God has everything that you need, that I need, that everybody needs, amen, and his hand of grace is extended, but too many times people just keep on passing by, doing the old thing, because the old thing felt good, because the old thing was familiar, because the old thing, amen, was something that I was used to, amen. But God has given you a holy place that has given you direct access, and all you have to do is get to that place, amen, and take advantage of it. So God says, draw near. In other words, come near to God, and God will give you what you need. Let's go down. Verse 23. And he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful. That promise. I'm going to try to get through this verse right here. He says, hold fast to your faith without wavering, because he is faithful, what? That promise. In other words, what the writer is saying is, I know it's getting a little rough. He said, I know you're trying to give up in the midst of the storm. I know that the times are not as ideal as you think they should be. I know they're still talking about you. I know they're still calling you everything but a child of God. I know you're the only one standing up sometimes. But he said, don't give up and don't waver in the midst of this thing. He's saying, I want you to keep going on. I want you to be this rugged type of Christian. I want you to have the ability to say, I have the faith the size of the mustard seed. And even though the road gets a little rugged and it gets a little rough sometimes, I don't look like what I've been through. Are you with me today? It seems like sometimes that you're all in the flesh because, amen, the flesh is getting tired. The flesh is getting weary. But when the flesh is weak, that's when God is strong. That's when God does his best work. When the situation gets impossible, that's when God will step in and say, read what my word says. He says, the one that promised is faithful.
Lord have mercy.
One that promised is faithful. That's what the saints have to continue to tell each other in the midst of what's going on in this world. That the one that promised is faithful. Keep being the rugged runner. Sometimes the rugged runner is misunderstood. Folks will ask you, why are you still praising God? When the world is in such a bad shape, world ask you, amen, why are you still trusting God, Lord have mercy? When it looks like you ain't going to get no further than where you are, why are you still giving God the praise? Because, my brothers and sisters, sometimes you don't feel like praising God. Sometimes we don't feel like giving God the glory. Sometimes we want to pull the cover up over our head and just sleep and stay there because the world situation gets worse and worse. But I'm here to tell you, God is a God that keeps promise. Look at somebody and say, God is a promise keeper. This is the message that we have to speak to each other. And verse 24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works. So you got to keep doing good and you got to keep working no matter what. You got to keep doing good. You got to keep encouraging other folk to do good no matter what. Even when they get on your last nerve, somebody said they got on my last nerve, but even when they got on your last nerve, you still got to keep doing good. Say, oh my goodness, even when they pissed you off, amen, you still got to give them Jesus. Haven't got a witness? Even when they got to the point, amen, where you felt like throwing them off the bridge, you still got to give love to them. Haven't got a witness? Even when it got to a point, amen, where you say, I don't care what happened to them. I don't know what happened to them. Don't ask me what happened to them. I don't want to see them no more. For all I care, they can go away and never come back. Haven't got a witness? But God said, you still need to provoke them to love. You still got to get to the place, amen, where you got some tough skin and some tough love that tell them, I'm not going to throw you off the bridge, but I'm going to talk to you and bring you to the bridge that will bring you from death to life because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you say, well, Pastor, how can I do this? How can I do this when I'm not feeling her, I'm not feeling him? How can I do this when I've been church hurt and beat up? How can I do this, amen, when my neighbor acts like a fool? How can I do this when my children are off the chain? How can I do this when my body's racked in pain? You want me to be a rugged runner? How can I be a rugged runner like Paul and Silas? How can I tell people I don't look like what I've been through? How can I get to this place where you say I have direct access? Well, the thing that we have to do is we have to continue to surround ourselves with people, amen, that will encourage you when you're down. We have to surround ourselves with a family of folk, amen, that have gone through some things that will let you know it might be a little rough right now, but sooner or later, the promise keeper, who is Jesus, is going to come through.
Yeah, yeah.
But the enemy has split us up. We don't get together no more. Look what verse 25 says. I'm going to get out of your way. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Lord have mercy. Where are all the folk that used to jump and scream and run the aisles in the church? I'm meddling now. Where are all the folk, amen, that used to come and participate and sing on the choir? I got a witness, I'm messing now. We're all the folks, amen, that used to come and dance and sing, amen. We're all the folk, amen, that used to, amen, come by, amen, and tell people that I've got to make it to church because I just don't feel like being right. I can't get right. Amen. If I'm not in church, a pandemic hit, good God Almighty, and the few folk that did worship God. Amen. They no longer worship God. Have I got a witness? They found exercise in the remote control. Have I got a witness? They found exercise of going to the mall. Have I got a witness? Somebody said the only place where you got to wear a mask and take a vaccine is in the black church. Amen. Everybody else out doing anything and everything they wanted to do. Amen. During the pandemic, folks was having parties. Folks were having parties above parties. Amen. But couldn't make it to the church. Have I got a witness? I know I'm better than somebody. But when the pandemic went over, amen, they said, well, I got used to doing this. The devil said, don't go back to church. Don't assemble yourself. Leave them folk alone. They ain't doing nothing anyway. Don't you feel good when you pull the cover up? Don't you feel good when you grab shoulder and hold it tight or hold it tight? Don't you feel good, amen, when you turn that thing up on Sunday morning and watch your football team lose? Watch your team win. Don't you feel good, amen, when you're sleeping late and you know somebody else is doing the work? Somebody else is praying for you. Somebody else is looking out for you. Don't you feel good? But the body says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why you got to keep running, brother, because the labor's a few. The harvest is plenty, but the labor's few. Have I got a witness today? God knows the faithful few who gather together. They got the power. They got the promise of God. And God will. I said, God will. He'll make a way out of no way. Have I got a witness today? When you come in the door and I see you, I know that God has made a way. When you come down and you beat down and I come over and hug you and say, everything gonna be all right. You might know it right now. You might not see it right now. But sooner or later, God will. I said, God will. God will. Turn around. Late in the midnight hour, he's gonna work that thing out. I'll encourage you, my brother. You encourage me, my sister. And the power, I said the power of God will come through. Won't he do it? Won't God come through? God will. God will. He'll turn it around and around and around. He's running, brother. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. He's doing what thus said the Lord. Keep walking by faith because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I know better than rain. But sooner or later, there's going to come a judgment day. And the enemy don't want you to get salvation before judgment day. He wants you to burn in hell with him. But I'm here to tell you, the hand of grace is still extended. God's grace, God's mercy is still extended. You don't have to die and go to hell with Satan. You don't have to die and be in a burning hell. You just have to reach the hand of grace and say, God, what must I do to be saved? And God will. God will save you. He'll reach way down. Anybody ever had God reach way down? Somebody said he reached way down. He picked me up. He cleaned me up. He spun me around. He put my feet on the solid ground. He said, run on. See what the enemy gonna, see what the end gonna be. Somebody said, I think I'll run on. See what the end gonna be. Why? Because God promised. He promised a new body over in glory. He promised a new name over in glory. God promised a new home over in glory. Keep running. Don't give up. Keep preaching. Don't give up. Keep teaching. Don't give up. to keep you from praising God and keep you assembled. Tell him know that he can get you by yourself. Get you out of the encouragement circle. Too many preachers going over on the side through the keyboard. Too many teachers close the book off, threw it away. Too many Christians. I ain't running this thing no more. I ain't going to church no more. I ain't worshiping. I ain't giving God no glory. God said, spirit of grace has been too good to you. Spirit of grace has allowed God's Son to shed his blood for the sins of the world. Spirit of grace is what's going to save. So church, we can't give up. We got to keep preaching that word. Same word we started 20 years ago is the same word we're going to be preaching for the next 20. Same God that we talked about 20 years ago is the same God that we're going to talk about today. We're going to tell people that day is coming. You got to get around some rugged folks. Not no weak sauce. You got to get around some folks that been through the storm. That been through the rain. That been through the fight. After fight. Look at somebody say, I got to be around some folks that know how to get through the struggle. That know how to get through the downtime. That know how to get back up when you've been knocked down. Can't deal with no weak sauce. Gotta be a rugged runner. Gotta get your hands dirty. Gotta get your heart right. Tell somebody there's a day coming. Everybody has rejected the hand of grace. Spirit of grace. And where is that at in the word? Spirit of grace. Spirit of grace. And verse 29 says, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. In other words, it takes the works of the blood of the Son of God and throw it away. And have done this unto the Spirit of grace. In other words, the Holy Spirit is here. And there's going to be some folk that turn away. And there's going to be a punishment like nobody understands.
But that's why we're here today, say, don't forget to assemble. Don't forget to come together. Don't forget to encourage each other. Because those who turn away, he says in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. What it's all about, why we come, that's why you're singing. Because we want to save souls. We want to be about introducing people into the spirit of grace, that their souls can be saved. We got a long vision. We got a long road to run. That's why you got to be a rugged runner. That's why you got to be tough. You got to be spiritually tough. But if the enemy's coming against you every day, saying, don't talk to that one. Don't talk to that one. Don't minister to that one. Don't bring these folks together. Because he doesn't want them, their souls to be saved. But God wants every soul to be saved. So that's why we got to run that race. As a rugged runner for Christ. If I see some of the crazy stuff, I'll be tough in this thing. Can't give up, can't be squeamish. Can't be wishy-washy. Can't be lukewarm. Because there's a day coming when the hand of grace is going to be withdrawn. And it's going to be a new period, a new dispensation. And that's a tribulation period. We're in grace now. Salvation is free. But those who reject that, that period is going to come and there's going to be a tribulation period. Folks are going to be in great punishment, great pain, great turmoil, because they rejected the hand of grace, the spirit of grace, the blood of Christ. So that's going to be our focus for our next 20 years, is to tell people, and there's a day coming. No man knows the day nor the hour. But they have a soul to lose. And God can save that soul. There might be someone here today. Don't know who you are on the phone or in person. But when you look at that word of God, that you have direct access to the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus. In other words, everything you need, God will give you for the same soul. The same soul. Everything you need in this world. And if you're already saved, you're not assembling, I challenge you today. Get back into your church. Get back into the assembly. If you physically can't. Physically can't, God's not talking about. If you physically can't, get back. Because you have something that will encourage me, and I have something that will encourage you. And the Word of God says, not to forsake our assembling of ourselves. And the day comes, the day approaches. And the day when the hand of grace was drawn. And there's no more sacrifice. I know you're a little beat up. I know you're a little tired. I know you're a little weary. But somebody's soul needs to be saved. So it's a devil's thing. So it's a devil's thing. Thank you. Lord today. Recognize and let him have his way. But the choice is that we make. The choice is that we make. We'll determine. Eternity. Choice. Choice. Would I be joined? Amen. I encourage you today, everybody you know, amen. There's going to come a day where you're going to have to give an account for your soul. There's going to come a day. So we have to remain vigilant. We have to be those rugged runners of Christ. Say, hey, my brother, hey, my sister. What's going to happen to your soul? What's going to happen to your soul when the dispensation of grace is gone? What's going to happen? That's the question. Nothing else is going to matter. Question. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you. Now we thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. God, we pray that you would give us that urgency. Tell somebody that they have a soul to lose. They have serious business with the Lord come that day of judgment. Help us to be that rugged Christian, that one that would run the race like Paul, the one that would finish the course, the one that would have the determination like Christ to go to Calvary's cross. That we would lose our life, that we might gain it, that someone else would come to know your Lord and Savior of their lives. Help us not to get caught up in division and petty rivalry, petty divisions in the church. But help us to assemble, like you said in your word, and encourage each other. Because someone's soul is lost right now. Someone doesn't know you in the free parting of this sin. So whatever petty thing we have with each other, petty beef, it's not worth it. But the enemy wants to keep us surviving. Help us to come together in unity as one body in Christ. That we'll be rough, and that we will be ready, and that we will be tough. And then when the storms come, we would remember that the one that promised is faithful. And we will weather the storm together with his help, with his power. And whatever we need, that we have direct access to the holiest place of our great high priest, the bishop of our soul, Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forever. As redeemed of the Lord, sing it together. Somebody asked a question. What happened to your soul? The Lord comes.